show in just a moment is get over yourself. Everyone else has. Get over yourself. Everyone else has. Before that, though, we're going to say our scripture from the book of Hebrews, all right? So if you have your Bibles, we raise them up this morning, and we're going to say our verse from Hebrews 12:2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, if you look there in Psalms 23, I've been bringing a series of messages on traveling light, talking about the baggage that we all tend to carry. And we're going to look at the baggage of pride this morning. Psalms 23, if you'll notice verse 3, David the psalmist says, He, God, restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want you to notice there that he says, for His name's sake. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, not for our sake, but for His name's sake. So we're going to look this morning at get over yourself, everyone else has. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the folks that have come this morning on kind of a cold and dreary Sunday morning to hear from you. And Father, I pray that you'll help me to deliver the message. And Lord, as I've studied it, I need help in delivering the message, and help us to understand that we need to drop the baggage of pride, Lord, certainly to receive you as our Savior. And then, Lord, as we serve you, help us to know that it's not our righteousness. There's nothing good about us. But, Father, everything we do is to glorify you. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, just to give you a little refresher of what we've been talking about, the series Traveling Light is about letting go of some of the baggage that we all tend to carry. Now, this is the fourth baggage that we're looking at today. The bags that we've already looked at, the first baggage was the baggage of self-dependence. Many people are self-dependent. Rather than depending upon God, they depend upon themselves, maybe for salvation, thinking that there's something that they can do to earn God's favor or get self-dependent in their service for God. Sometimes we can have the right motive, and yet we're depending more. Listen, a preacher can do that. You can depend more maybe upon your own talent or your own knowledge without using what God maybe has laid upon your heart. We can get self-dependent in many different areas, and we talked about that. Then we talked about letting go of the bag of discontent. We live in a very discontented world today, do we not? A world where people, you know, they need more and want more. If I just have a nicer home or more money or more this, more that. We live in a discontented world, and yet God teaches us that we should be content with whatever we have. And so we talked about that. And then we talked about the baggage of weariness, how that there are times when we just get weary in this life. And it's in those times that we need to lean on the Lord for strength, not on our own strength, but lean on the Lord. Today we're going to look at the baggage of pride. Now, here's the thing with pride. Everybody listen. We all deal with the baggage of pride. We've all got it. I don't know of one person that doesn't deal somewhat with the baggage of pride. It's in us genetically. We have pride within our blood. We all carry the baggage of pride. Now, some people carry a small bag of pride. Some people carry a 2-ton bag of pride. You may know somebody like that, you know, that just... they're just a proud person. They're proud of everything, and they're boasting all the time. That person is carrying a big bag of pride. But we all deal with it. We all deal with this thing of pride. Here's the thing about the baggage of pride, though. It's deceptive. Pride is deceptive. Here's why. Because the minute that you don't think that you are proud is when you got it. Now, think about it. The minute that you say, well, I'm a humble person. I don't have any pride. Well, wait a minute. You just blew it. Because now... you're showing pride that you don't have pride. It's deceptive. I read a story about a little boy who in his Sunday school class at the end of the year, he won the humility badge. And he kept that humility badge until he pinned it on his shirt, and then it got taken away. Think about that for a minute. If you wear the humility badge, all of a sudden, are you humble anymore? No, you just lost your humility. So that's what I'm saying. Pride is a very deceptive thing. We can deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I'm not proud. I don't have a proud spirit. I don't wrestle with pride. We all wrestle with pride. It's something within mankind. It's something that we deal with. Now, on the screen this morning, we have a picture here of a name tag that says, hello, I'm awesome. You ever know anybody like that? It's kind of like they want to let you know how important they are and how prideful they are. That's what the badge of pride is. I'm awesome. Boy, aren't I great. Look at everything I've done in life. And yet God says that he resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. So what I want to talk about this morning, I got three simple points dealing with this baggage of pride. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with pride? If we all have it to wrestle with, how are we going to deal with it? Well, I think it's important, first of all, let's start with the beginning of pride. Where did pride begin? If we all have it, where did it come from? Turn your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we see the beginning of pride. Did you know that pride actually originated in heaven? The place that pride, this thing we're talking about a proud spirit, pride actually has its origins up in heaven. There was an angel created by the name of Lucifer. We also know him as Satan or the devil. But before the devil had pride in his heart, he was a beautiful angelic being. We are shown pictures and videos and things of the devil, you know, the devil with horns and a pitchfork and a long tail. You know the devil doesn't look like that? The devil was created a beautiful being, and the Bible says he can transform himself into an angel of light. But pride actually began in heaven with this angel by the name of Lucifer in Isaiah 14. So if you look there in your Bibles, Isaiah 14, it's page 726 if you use a Scofield Bible. Here's what the Bible says, Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? So we know that the devil was where in the beginning? Where was he? Up in heaven. It tells us that. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now look at verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, here's pride. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he's saying there. Satan had pride in his heart. What did Satan want to do there in Isaiah 14? He wanted to take the place of God. He says, I'll sit on the throne of the Most High. At that very moment, sin originated within the heart of Lucifer. And what happened was God cast Lucifer and a third of the angels from heaven down to earth. Now, where do we fit into this picture? Well, we fit in Genesis chapter 3. I'm not going to read that, but you can study that for yourself sometime. Not long after Lucifer was cast from heaven, God created the first couple. What were their names? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created. Well, they could eat. They were placed in the Garden of Eden. They could eat anything they wanted in that garden except for one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of that or you're going to die. Well, they didn't eat of it, but here comes the serpent. And the serpent says to Eve, hath not God said that you're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Eve said, yeah, God said we couldn't eat of it. He said, don't even touch it, lest you die. And Satan told Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he said, listen, you're not going to die. You won't die. God knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, that you're going to be as a God yourself, that you shall be as gods. Well, that sounded pretty good to Eve. Oh, man, I can be as God. And so the Bible tells us in verse 8 how that Eve looked at that fruit, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was something that would make someone wise. So she took of the fruit and then gave it to Adam, and he ate, and it plunged all of humanity into sin. Right there, the sin of pride began. Why did Eve take of the fruit? Just because it looked appealing? Well, she could eat any fruit in the garden. What was it that appealed to Eve so much? It was this. It was the fact that she could be as God and know what God knew. And because of pride, all of humanity has been cast into this thing of sin and pride. Listen, pride is something we all have to face. It originated with Satan. It carried on to Adam and Eve. And now every one of us have pride that we've got to deal with. Listen, if you don't think people are proud today, why do we focus so much on materialistic things? We live in a proud society. You know, we're proud of our homes. We're proud of our cars. Those things are not bad in themselves. What's bad is when we place all of our being into those things, and those things identify us, and those things are what we're all about. That's when pride slips in. So it all began with Satan. Now, here's what I really want you to get this morning. There's the beginning of pride, but then what is the burden of pride? What does pride do to us? Now, stay with me here. This will be a big help. What does pride do to someone who is proud and can't let that pride go? There's three things that it does. Let's look at the burden of pride. First of all, pride causes us to fail to recognize God. Let me say that again. Pride causes us to fail to recognize God. See, whenever we get real proud in our accomplishments and proud in our money and our materialism, and we say, hey, I've done all this. Boy, look at what all I've attained. What happens is we tend to forget God. By the way, has that happened in America, yes or no? Do you think America is a nation that once remembered God and now has forgotten Him? I think so. Possibly part of the reason we are going through an economic struggle right now is that America has failed to recognize God. God is the one that allows us to have everything, folks. He's the one that gives you the air to breathe, the health to appreciate things. And if it wasn't for the goodness of God, we wouldn't even have life. But pride causes us not to recognize that. Turn to Daniel chapter 4. Let me show you something here. You're in Isaiah. Just go a couple more books there in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, we have the great king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Babylon was a great empire in its day. In fact, Babylon was just as powerful in its day as America is in 2011. It was the empire that ruled the world. And Nebuchadnezzar was over that empire. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar did what some people do sometimes. He walks out one day in his palace and he looks and he says, man, look at all this kingdom. Boy, look at these the hanging gardens in Babylon. It's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He said, boy, look at everything I've got out here. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 4 verse 29 is where I'm at. The Bible says, at the end of 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Here he is. He's the king. He's walking through this beautiful palace. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that God has given the house of the kingdom? Does he say that? What does he say? That I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of God? No, the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Everybody look up here. Here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar walks around and he says, man, look at everything I've attained. Look at this beautiful kingdom, and boy, this really makes me look good. For my majesty, all this has happened. And the Bible says while that word was still in his mouth, God said, I'm going to drive you from the kingdom. And for 7 years, if you go on and read that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar lived like an animal. He went out into the field, and the Bible says he grew nails long like an eagle's talons, his hair grew long, and he eat of the grass of the field. What happened? God humbled him is what happened. He had pride, and he forgot it was God that allowed him to have everything he had. And it took 7 years, and finally the Bible tells us, if you look at verse 34, look there. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him that liveth forever. Look at verse 37, the very last verse of that chapter. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment, and those that walk in what? What are we talking about? Pride, He is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar, finally, after 7 years of living basically like an animal, finally come to the conclusion, hey, I better praise God for everything I've got. Did you know we need to do the same thing? When we get too high on our horse and think, boy, look at everything I've attained, look at all the automobiles I've got and money I've got. Again, those things aren't bad. What's bad is when we say, boy, I've attained all of it. Look at what I've done. And we fail to give God the glory. I've made this comment before, and I think it's true. You know the number one thing that'll keep people from going to heaven? Pride. Pride will keep more people from going to heaven than drinking, smoking, cussing, lying, stealing combined. You know why? Because most people have the idea I'm doing okay. At least I'm not as bad as Paul Pierce. You know, I may be bad, but boy, I'm not as bad as Paul Pierce. That's how we look at it. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And I'm pretty good to people. I do this good, and I do all that. It's not about that. Pride will prevent people because they think, man, I'm doing okay. Pride will keep more people from going to heaven than anything else. We must remember God is the one that gives us everything we have. God give you the breath that you're breathing this morning. God give you the good health you've got. God's allowed you to get up and go to work in the morning. God's allowed you to, those of you retired, God allowed you to work so you could retire. God gives us everything. God wants us to be blessed. God's perfectly fine with us having fine things and having money, but he wants us to remember, hey, I'm the one that gave it to you. I'm the one that let you have it. And pride will cause a person to fail to recognize God. Here's something else about pride. Number two, pride causes us to brag. Anybody know somebody who brags about their stuff? Raise your hand. You know anybody who just, they kind of brag, well, let me tell you what all I've got. Pride will do that. It'll cause us to brag. In the book of Proverbs, listen to this verse, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 27, says, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. And then in Psalms 27 and verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Listen, pride will cause people to brag. Who's been watching the news this week and seen Charlie Sheen on the news? Anybody seen old Charlie Sheen? You think Charlie Sheen is a prideful fella? You better believe it. I was watching one thing he was on this week, and the lady said, are you taking any drugs now? And he said, yeah, I'm on the drug Charlie Sheen. Anybody else see that? That's his drug. I'm high on me. He's bragging. Well, just this week, haven't they taken his children away? And boy, you can see it whenever these things happen to some of these actors and actresses. They've got the world by the tail, and yet their life just starts crumbling right in front of it. He's a train wreck, 45 years old, and he said, I've got tiger's blood and Adonis DNA. Pretty cool, man. Did you know they're even making T-shirts that say that now? Money is being made off of this guy. Tiger's blood and Adonis DNA. He's got the world by the tail. And what is he saying? Look at everything I've done. His whole attitude is the rest of the world's ignorant, man. I'm on a higher plane than everybody else. And Charlie Sheen, unless things turn around, I'll be surprised if he doesn't die of a young age, like many other of actors and actresses we've seen. Why? Simply because of pride. Because he thinks, boy, I've really attained things in life. Here he is, the son of a famous man, Martin Sheen. He's got everything. I mean, you talk about having the world by the tail. Charlie Sheen's got everything you'd ever want. And either the guy's nuts or he's a marketing genius. Because we're all talking about Charlie Sheen. He's not dumb. It may be that he's doing all this to get some attention. But whatever the case is, he sure looks like a prideful fella, doesn't he? Listen, when we brag about things, boy, look what I've done and all this stuff, what that's doing is saying, God, I don't need you. I can move right along in my life and do good without you. The Bible says, he that thinketh, he standeth. He that thinks he's got pride and is doing okay, take heed, watch out, lest he fall. Those things can be taken away from us in a heartbeat. And listen, when you lose a loved one or something and all these things you put a lot of effort into and a lot of emotion into and having, those things don't count for a lot. I bet Brother Jimmy right here would trade his battle with cancer for you can have your fine homes, you can have your, right, Jimmy? You can have it all. Give me the Lord and give me good health. When it comes down to it, that's what life's about. And God is the one that allows us to have stuff. So pride will cause us to brag. Something else. Pride is short-lived. Did you know that? Pride's short-lived. It doesn't last long. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away. Here's what it means. Anything that we take pride in and we give glory to ourselves, it's going to be short-lived. Anything we say, boy, I've got this, and boy, I'm going to hold on to it. You'll have it till you die, and then it's going to be gone. That's how things go. That's the matter of fact. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. Let me show you an interesting story here. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 12 and verse 21. In this passage, we've got King Herod. King Herod thought he was somebody. He was the king. And he knew that he was somebody special. In Acts chapter 12, what you have going on here is King Herod is going to come and he's going to make a speech to all of Israel in Acts chapter 12. Now look at what happens here. Acts 12, beginning in verse 21. The Bible says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Now here's what happens. Everybody look. King Herod gets ready to speak. He's got his royal robe on. He's got his crown on. And he comes walking in the room, and it says that he sat on his throne, and he made an oration. What does that mean? He gave a speech. Let's put it in our terms. He gave a speech. But whatever he spoke, apparently he spoke with great authority. Maybe he had a deep, booming voice, and the people just oohed and awed. Because look at the next verse. Verse 22 says, the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. They said, boy, listen to this guy give a speech. Isn't this something? By the way, are people today just as gullible for that? They sure are. A fine speaker, you know, people will just ooh and ah. Maybe it doesn't even matter what the content was, but they'll just ooh and ah over it. But I want you to notice what happens to King Herod in the next verse. The Bible says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Because why? Why did he smite him? What's it say? Because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Here's what happened. King Herod's sitting there and he's just making this great speech for everybody and they're all taking it in, you know. And then all of a sudden, because he didn't give God the glory, the Bible says his body began being eaten of worms. Now, how would you like to be in the audience for that? Here you're sitting there and you're saying, boy, this is the voice of a God. And all of a sudden the guy's getting eaten up by worms. What must they have thought? What must he have thought? What God is telling us there is that Herod, you know what he should have done? Herod should have said, hold it, folks, I'm no God. I'm up here giving a speech, but don't give me any glory. It doesn't say that he did that. Instead, he kind of, boy, that must have been good. Boy, yeah, I must have really given a good speech there. And the Bible says that because he didn't give God the glory, that his life was taken away from him. Here's what I'm telling us all. The baggage of pride is short-lived. If you're placing all of your eggs in that basket of pride and being prideful about what you've got or what you've attained, listen, it's short-lived. Only one life we live. We have this life and that's it, and it's not that long. Don't you think it would be wise to give God some of the glory for everything we have? In fact, give him all of the glory. God, again, God is not against us having things. God is against the things having us. That's where the problem lies. That's the burden of pride. Let me share one more thing with you and I'm done. It's the beating of pride. How do we beat it? If we've all got this thing of pride, we're all going to have to deal with it some way. How do we deal with pride? There's two ways we can do it. Let's look at these real quick. How do we beat pride? First of all, we must have the right priorities in our life. The right priorities. Go with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. We've got to have the right priorities in life. Most people, sad to say, do not have the right priorities. Their priorities lie in what things? Well, priorities usually are money's number one, prestige, maybe, position. To some people, having a name, you know, I know so-and-so, so that makes me somebody important. So we place a lot of priorities on these things and forget that our ultimate priority should be knowing God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Three things are listed here that man gives glory to. Look at verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Well, right there tells us don't glory in your knowledge here. Some people glory in the fact, well, I've got a master's degree. And so that makes me smarter than everybody else. Or I've got a PhD, or maybe I've done this or done that. They put glory in their wisdom. God says, hey, no glory in your wisdom. Look at the next thing. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. That's power and prestige. You know, some people live for having like a title on the door. Boy, if I could ever just attain this certain title, if I could ever reach this certain position in my livelihood, boy, then I'll be somebody. God says, hey, don't put your glory in that. Number three, look at the next thing. Let not the what? The rich man glory in his riches. Don't say, boy, when I attain this much money and I've got this, then I can give myself glory. God says, don't glory in those things. Don't glory in wisdom. Don't glory in power. Don't glory in money. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Everybody look up here. What is there to glory about in this life, according to the Bible? That you know the Lord. That's the one thing. If you and I are going to be proud of anything, and really it's a godly pride, if you're going to be proud of anything, be proud that you know the Lord. God says, don't be proud about what you've attained in this life. Don't be proud of your knowledge, your wisdom, your money, your prestige. Don't place your glory in that. Place your glory in the fact that you know the Lord. The Bible tells us this, that what shall it profit a man? Now listen, what shall it profit a man or a woman if they should gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. So what if you're a billionaire? I was thinking about this. Did you know hell is full of billionaires? Hell is full of PhDs. Hell is full of people who have been presidents and kings and queens. They placed all of their glory in things of this earth and have forgotten that it's God that we're to glory. Knowing and understanding God, that's the thing we have to glory in. Let me share one more thing with you and I'm done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me in your Bibles if you would please. The second thing here, if we're going to beat pride, not only have the right priorities, but have the right perspective in life. We need to have the right perspective. Did you know even in troubles and trials, and anybody having troubles this week? Raise your hand. Anybody have troubles? Maybe health troubles, maybe family troubles, maybe financial troubles, and you say, man, God, here I am trying to serve you, and I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm having these troubles. Paul tells us the key, though, to the whole thing of keeping things in perspective. Now, stay with me. Give me about 5 minutes, and we'll wrap up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, here's what happened. Paul was given access to the third heaven. By the way, just so that you know this, according to the Bible, there are three heavens, all right? The first heaven is the heaven right above us, the atmosphere, the atmospheric heaven, the clouds, the air we breathe. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the celestial heaven, the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets. That's the second heaven. The third heaven, though, is God's abode. No one's ever been there. Except those who have already died and are in heaven. But the Apostle Paul was allowed access to look into the third heaven. And Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, it's so great that it's unlawful for me to even utter the words. But I want you to notice something here that happens to Paul, and we'll wrap this up. Look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 says this. Paul says, unless I should be built up, unless I should have some pride about seeing the third heaven, above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now look up here. Paul says, so that I didn't get too proud about the fact that I got to see what heaven was like, God allowed me to have this thorn in the flesh. By the way, we don't know what that was. It doesn't tell us. Some say maybe his thorn in the flesh was a poor eyesight. Paul walked with a limp. Paul eventually was killed for his faith. But we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. Did you know that sometimes, now listen, the problem that you are going through may be a thorn in the flesh that God is using to keep you humble? See, if we look at our problem, a lot of times we pray, God, get me out of this mess. Get me out of my problems. God may be allowing you to go through that to keep you humble. Listen, God can send all kinds of different thorns in the flesh. Did you know people can be a thorn in the flesh? You might have somebody you work with who is a thorn in the flesh, or somebody that lives next door to you and you say, man, they're a thorn in the flesh. God may be using that to keep you humble. Look what else Paul says. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That means three times. That it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now watch his reaction. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in what? In my money? Glory in my wisdom? Glory in my power and prestige? What does it say? Glory in my infirmities, my problems, my troubles. He says, more gladly will I glory in that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What was Paul saying? How can we wrap this up? Paul was saying, have the right perspective on your life, because the infirmities you may be having, the problems you may be going through, actually may be what God is using to keep you humble and keep you trusting Him. Sometimes, think of it this way. Let's say that you would like to have a lot more money. Who would like to have some more money to pay your bills and have some nicer things? Raise your hand besides the preacher. All right. Amen. You're all with me. Why doesn't God give it to us? Why didn't He say, well, Pastor Tim, you know, you're pastoring a church and you're living a good life, son, so here's a bunch of money. Why didn't He do that? Because maybe God knows that if He gave Tim Reynolds a whole bunch of money, that Tim might get to thinking, boy, aren't I something? And quit leaning on the Lord. Where when I don't have so much, what I have to do, I got to pray, Lord, help me. Our school is struggling right now, Mount Vernon Christian School. We've got to have some money come in at our school. I'm just telling you how it is. We've got to pay our teachers this week, and the money isn't there. So I'm praying. In fact, I'd call my dad about it Friday. I said, Dad, why do we have to struggle and do this? You know, I have to worry about it. He said, son, anybody else that runs a business, look at the state. The state can't pay its bills. So you're not alone. But just remember, though, that that's the time that it causes you to stop and pray. And I've been praying about it. Lord, you know, we need to be able to pay our teachers. We need something to happen this week, Lord. It makes us lean on Him, where if we had everything that we wanted, would we lean on Him so much? Probably not. We'd get to thinking, boy, look, I'll come up with a solution for this. I'll take care of it. Write this down and I'm done. It's the last thing that's on the screen. There is a false teaching, and you'll see it if you watch, especially preachers on TV. If you watch it, they will tell you this. If you want to be successful, if you want to have money, if you want to have a good life, what you need to do is pray and claim God's promises, and God's obligated to give it to you. That's a false teaching. God is not under any obligation to do anything for us. This idea that we can manipulate God with our, you know, God, I'm just saying to you, I was watching a guy on TV the other day. I'll just tell you his name. This guy's name's Mike Murdoch. Anybody watch Mike Murdoch? Mike Murdoch's got a beard, and his whole ministry is about money. Is basically what it's about. And he was saying that you need to just claim that God's going to provide that money and just claim it. Listen, we cannot manipulate God. This is what I'm telling you to write down, the last thing on the screen. This is a big help when it comes to prayer. Prayer, are you listening? Prayer is not bending God's will to ours. Prayer is bending our will to His. We don't pray and say, God, this is what I want. Now, you're under some obligation to provide it for me. The Bible, the Lord's Prayer says, whose will be done? My will be done? No. It says, thy will be done. Prayer is not bending God down to us. Prayer is when we pray and we, you know, if we have a need, saying, Lord, I need this. Lord, I'd like you to provide it. But Lord, your will be done. See, if we pray God's will, all of a sudden we start getting the picture of things. Of course, and I think of Brother Jimmy, but there's been others in here who have had, you know, some kind of sickness. And your first prayer is, Lord, heal me. I've been praying for the Lord to heal my mom. Mom's going through cancer treatments right now, and I'm praying the Lord to heal her. But I'm also praying this, that God's will be done. Because if we don't, then we become disillusioned when He doesn't heal us. I prayed for my brother John for several years to get healed. John dies in his sleep. What am I going to do? So, well, I guess God doesn't answer prayers. No. Understand that that was God's will. And when we come to that conclusion, we come to that point in our prayer life, it makes us trust Him more. It makes us lean on Him more. And it makes us not be so proud of what we can do, but to be thankful for what God does. Amen? Let's wrap the message up. You're here today. Is pride keeping you from receiving Jesus Christ? I'm as good as my next door neighbor. It's not about that. I don't need Him. I'll do okay. I do good deeds. It's not about that. It's all about bending the knee and saying, Lord, there's nothing good about me. Lord, I'm a hell-deserving sinner, but I'm just asking you to save me. That's when we swallow our pride, and Jesus says, well, I'll save you then, son. You've come to the point where you've just swallowed your pride. But listen, this can also happen to Christians. We can get self-righteous and get to thinking, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and so, therefore, I'm doing good. Listen, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? Jesus said two guys went to pray, and the Pharisee, he began praying like this. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. I thank you that I'm not like them. I fast twice a week. I give money to the poor. And the Bible tells us that the publican, who was a tax collector, a cheat, the publican couldn't even raise up his head. And he simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one of those guys was justified? This Pharisee who said, I fast twice a week? Or was it the publican who said, God, I'm a sinner? Which one was saved? That old publican. Because he swallowed his pride. Let go of that baggage of pride. Everything we have in this life is for God's glory. Aren't you glad that God gave it to us? God gives us our health. If you get in a nice automobile today, if you go home and your house is warm and you're like us, and you sit, I'll sit down and watch basketball today. Got satellite TV. Man, got it made. And yet we'll gripe and complain, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had a bigger TV. I wish I had a better house. Listen, God gives us everything we have. Give him the glory for it. Amen. Don't take pride in ourselves. Give him all the glory for everything he's given us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we all learn this lesson of dropping the baggage of pride. Lord, I pray that everyone here has done that, Lord, and understands that it comes to that point, Lord, where we have to swallow our pride and say, Lord, I can't save myself. Lord, I can't do this on my own. I've got to have you. I pray, Lord, that that will be done. And then, Father, those maybe who are saved, but maybe they've been placing too much glory in the things they've attained in this world, and Lord, maybe having a sense of pride, help us all to know that every good thing comes from above. And Father, these things are not bad in themselves, but it's when we place pride in them, when we don't give you the recognition, when we brag, Lord, help us to not do that. Help us to just be appreciative of every good thing you give us. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to give a verse of invitation. What are you playing, Mallory? I surrender all. And I surrender all means I surrender my pride. I'm swallowing my pride. I'm just coming to the Lord with what I got, just as I am. I'm not going to be proud of anything I've attained or done. It's all glory to God. I surrender all. We invite you to come during this invitation time as Mallory plays. Sing it if you know it. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Sing it. I surrender. Be seated for just a moment. Billy, make your way up here if you would, please. And I'm going to tell folks about you in just a second. I was just now thinking about this. You know, one of the good things about church is it helps us keep things in perspective, because you go all week long and, you know, we run the rat race of making money and paying bills and all that, and church makes us stop and think, Lord, thank you for all the stuff I've got. Amen. Kind of makes us slow down and regather for the week to come. I'll tell you a little bit about Billy Craddock. Billy, come up here and stand with me if you would, please. And I've not spoken to anybody about this since we spoke on Monday. Billy, give me a call. Many of you don't maybe know Billy Craddock. Billy and Andrea has been coming. How long have you guys been here? A couple of years. Billy's a quiet guy, but he's a special guy. He just got a very good heart about him. Anyway, he called me last Monday and said, Pastor Tim, can I come in and talk to you? So we met there in my office up at the school. And I'll just let you kind of give the testimony from here, and I'll kick in when you need me, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have always wanted to know more about God. It's always been something in me I've always wanted to learn. 2 months ago, my friend Eric and I and another friend of ours, Thomas, we started having a Bible study. Ever since we've been doing that, God laid it on me that I really wanted to do something with ministry. I didn't know what, but I wanted to do something. And last Sunday, we were out there and we were talking, you know, what are we getting out of it? And I told him, you know, the way I felt that God had been laying it on me. And he he told me that since we started that, he's been praying that he could be a Barnabas so that I could be a Paul. And boom, history on that. Barnabas and Paul were apostles, and Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. That's
yep.
The name of the and he really was a big encouragement to Paul, and Paul had a lot to do with the making of the first church.
Early church.
The early church. And he wrote 13 books in the New Testament, which is really, you know, on fire and telling the gospel. And that touched me in such a way when he said that I cried and I really, really felt God.
Hard to explain. Take your time.
I've felt God in places before, you know, like in church, with different worship times, and my kids were born, and grandma died. But this was different. This was amazing. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I really was. I think now that God's calling
me to preach. Isn't that outstanding? And I think let's give him a round of applause. Got any more to say? I'll give you an opportunity. Well, here's what he come to talk to me about it because, listen, that's a big deal. When you can stop and say, I think God's calling me to preach. Now, Billy works with the oil company. And it's kind of hit and miss for you and stuff.
Not
working right now. And the oil prices, we can thank Billy for our gas prices, guys. Blame him. No. But here's the thing. It's an encouraging thing to me because here we've been at the church. We're in our fourth year. And we've got a young man that comes forward and says, I want to preach. That's a neat thing because that means that not only are we impacting Waltonville is community. Now we've got another young man, and he's got a few full of folks back there with him whose lives he's touching. Two little kids. Appreciate his mom and dad coming today. Guys, thank you for coming. And Billy's got at least two friends. We all can attest to that now, so we see that. But, yeah, he's got a whole bunch more than that. But it tells me, and this was interesting too, my dad happened to be up at the school. He had dropped my mom off for chemotherapy that day on Monday, and he came in, and my dad had on a black stocking. He didn't look like a preacher, let me tell you. He had on black stocking cap and a pair of sweats. And he just happened to be there. I said, Dad, come here. I want you to introduce you to Billy and whatever. And the comment my dad said, he said, and my dad's been preaching for 40 plus years. He said, God's going to do something with that young man. He said, he's got a good heart. And you can tell that if you ever talk to Billy very much, he's a very, you just seem, you're calming, and you've got a good spirit. God uses those with a good spirit. Mom's even nodding her head that you do. That's a good sign that mom's nodding her head. God uses people who are humble. That's what we were just talking about this morning. And Billy's an humble person. God uses people like that. And who will help me pray that Billy will do something great for the Lord? Not just for his sake, but, not just for our church sake, but that's a big deal to me as a church to see we've got a young guy. You're how old, Billy?
24.
And that's weird because that seems young to me now. I say a young guy. Being 40, that seems young now. But God's going to use Billy in a special way. He and Andrea, and I know, Andrea, you feel like you're chasing Oscar back and forth there and all that stuff. But listen, you bring them kids to church. We don't care a bit about the noise and all that stuff because God's going to use this guy. He surrendered his life. That's the first key, is surrender. Once a person does that, I told him, don't be surprised the doors is going to open. We may be talking about starting up a youth group, doing that, giving Billy away. I'm going to try to talk you into come up here and maybe lead singing for me some and give some announcements and stuff. Get used to getting up in front of people. That's a big challenge. But listen, let's pray for Billy and lift him up in prayer. Amen. He's surrendering his life, and let's pray that God opens these doors so that he has the opportunity. And as he does, he'll grow, he'll learn more. We're all learning, and none of us learned at all. We're still learning, and it was an encouragement to me, and I thought it would be an encouragement to our church. And so I wanted him to give that testimony today, and again, his family's with us. So I'd like to do this. Let's all stand.
And Andrea, if you would come up here. In fact, why don't you guys all just come up here? Because you're his support system. We are as a church. But Mom and Dad, if you'll come on up here too. And we're just going to come around and shake hands and let you know that we are 100% behind Brother Billy and his family. Amen. In his endeavor to surrender his life to the Lord and to preach. And I know Mom and Dad's proud of him. And God's going to do great things with him, okay? So let's pray. And then, Mallory, if you would just play something for us. Victory in Jesus. Or what do you play at the end? We all get to heaven. Let's do that. We'll do that one. And just come around and give them guys, give these guys a hug and let them know we're behind them, all right? Scoot this way. Give yourselves a little more room. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And Brother Todd McGovern, pray and dismiss us, would you please? And then we'll come around and shake hands. Yes, that's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. Amen. Yes. Yes, that's right. Amen. Yes. Amen. Come on around and shake hands with this family, all right? I'm really proud of you, man. I'm good. We love you too, Andrew. You guys all handshake. Thanks for coming and supporting him today. Appreciate it.